It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. That means this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are sitting here, thankfully, in the studio. I wasn't at all sure about Wednesday that this was going to actually happen.
No, I was not either, but we really dodged a bullet on that one, and the rest of Florida was not quite as lucky.
Man, it is just painful to look at what went on down there, and it's going to be a long darn time until they get back to normal.
Yeah, for sure.
And now it's still doing its thing up in the Carolinas. And
They're
even saying that one of the bands from out on the ocean probably going to impact Long Island tonight.
Really? I didn't see that. That's crazy.
This thing is just a monster.
Will not go away.
No, and I've had some kind of disturbing reports about certain other things too, but we'll move past that because that's the only thing I can think of less fun to talk about than the market.
Yeah.
But an amazing thing happened overnight.
What's
Maybe
that?
Some of you noticed. It turned into October.
Yes, it did.
And October is the first day of the best 3 months of the year, historically.
Historically.
Now, will that prove true? I will tell you on November 1st.
I could make a case either direction.
I could too.
Right now.
That's what's so annoying about this whole thing.
It's certainly been the most frustrating year I've been a part of in the market.
July was so much fun because we were coming back from a bad first half.
Yeah, I didn't buy it then.
Yeah, I know. You said it too. And then Wednesday, right when we're really starting to feel like, man.
Maybe.
And it starts romping back and everything was up.
Yeah.
Everything. And then Thursday came, gave it all back and a little more.
Yeah, it was so bad. There was only one asset class that I could find that was up for the month.
Silver.
That's it. Everything else was down.
Yeah, and it's been terrible this year.
Yeah, it's...
And gold was down.
Yeah, gold was down.
So you can't even say that this is brought to you by the precious metals sector that finally is getting its due or something like that, because even that was a mixed bag. So
yeah, even natural gas, which is certain to have a gangbuster sales winter, mm-hmm. because you can't get it right now.
Right.
The pipeline just got sabotaged.
Yeah.
Even that fell 26% in September.
And bonds.
Yeah.
The bond market.
The TLT, the ETF TLT has been basically one for one with the NASDAQ this year.
And the NASDAQ has been worse than the Dow.
Yeah.
If it sounds like we're frustrated, there's only one reason for that.
Yeah. It's certainly frustrated. And from the peak of the bond market, the Fed has now destroyed, and I say the Fed because it is entirely their fault.
Oh, absolutely.
100% their fault.
Yep.
They've destroyed $3 trillion in market value in the bond market alone.
Yep.
In the stock market, they have destroyed $13 trillion of value.
And what are we starting right now? We're starting on the housing market.
Yeah, that's probably next. So, it's just crazy. And it's not just their reaction. It's the fact that they set this up in the first place. And they're correcting a problem that they are trying to correct a problem that they created.
100%.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have a list of the comments that were made this week by Fed members, and I haven't decided whether I'm willing to read a couple of them or not because they're so disgusting.
They're awful.
Basically, I'll tell you one thing they said. A recession won't stop the feds from raising rates.
I don't even know.
Hello?
I don't know where to start with that.
Earth to Fed? I've spent years trying to explain to people why we need to get rid of it. Now maybe some more people will understand.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. I keep thinking they're going to U-turn on this, and they're just they're taking the stance to
bait and switch.
Yeah, and give a October surprise or whatever. And
don't count on it.
No, I'm not going to do that anymore because it is just. I think they're just as dumb as they appear.
And if you read through all the stuff that you and I read through, you find out that there's hardly anything left that's appreciating in price.
Yeah, it's all coming down. And that's the amazing thing, is that how are the government reports still showing inflation? Because they're
it's a lagging indicator.
It's not happening anymore.
You compile data from 2 months ago, 3 months ago, or they just came out with the revisions for the first and second quarter of this year for GDP, and they just reaffirmed the minus and the minus.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, and okay, and now you're pretty sure that things are a lot worse than they were then.
And I keep seeing that we're going to hit a recession in 2023 or 2024. We're in a recession. Why can't you see that? I don't know.
It's beyond comprehension. And I'll tell you why. It's because they sit in their little bubble and don't see what's going on Main Street.
It's true. They must have the coastal goggles on or whatever that is. They're not seeing what's happening out in the real world.
Nope. It's just, like I say, if I sound frustrated, it's because I'm so frustrated. Yep. Nothing more, nothing less.
Outside of a really good Wednesday, I think it was, mm-hmm. it was just a really terrible good week. It was capped off an ugly month, an ugly quarter. And it actually, the quarter started out strong too, and, mm-hmm. and just reversed by the Fed, basically. There just isn't a lot of fun things to talk about. Yep. We're definitely in a bear market, as everyone knows. It's now officially the 12th longest bear market on record at 187 days.
That's the beginning of the good news.
It's not the kind of record you really want to be setting, but here we are.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, and I know that the world's computers, the ones that drive the major money through the market, they're programmed for some number.
Yeah, somewhere.
And when it goes, we read today actually really good analysis of what happens with investors. And it proves that they're pretty good at getting out of the equity market at a reasonable time when it rolls over. But they're absolutely inept at getting back
Horrible.
And all they do is trade it away.
Yep, it's true. Despite the length of this bear market, it's only the fourth largest decline in stocks during a bear market out of the 28 total bear markets. Only 9 of those bear markets have lasted a year, or that's about a third of them. The average losses during a bear market are just over 35%, which means the S&P would have to drop an additional 10% to get anywhere near the top bear markets in terms of decline. So mm-hmm. let's keep our fingers crossed that we don't have that happen. One interesting thing about this market is that stocks tend to be either all in or all out on a given day, and that happened this week. What that means is that if there are more than 400 of the stocks in the S&P 500 move in either direction, that's an all-in or all-out day. On Wednesday, when stocks rallied, 477 stocks in the S&P 500 were up. That's insane.
That's almost all of them.
Yeah, it is. And then on Thursday, when they reverse, more than 400 were down. So that people are just very reactionary. They are not trading on earnings or revenue or profit or anything besides fear or greed right now. And that's what is really driving the market. It's mostly fear at this point, clearly.
One of the things I didn't like was the SOXX, the semiconductor index. And then there's an interesting statistic there, too. It's down over 40% this year. It started being measured in 1994. From 1994 to today, its average returns are 12% annually, compounded.
Yeah. And it spends a lot of time down 50% or so off of its high.
So get ready when that puppy starts coming back. All of this is going to change in complexion one of these days. And I can't tell you what day it is, but don't be late. All right, got to run, take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question today, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And talk about, I'm starting to think about taxes. You know, partly because October 15th, for anybody who filed an automatic extension, is coming up. And, of course, everybody starts doing some tax planning at year-end, that sort of thing. So today we're going to talk about taxes in a trivia. A lot of you might remember in 1987-88, when Congress finally let Ronald Reagan implement his entire program, we had two personal individual tax brackets. The highest one was 28%, and the only other one was 15%. Now, that was pretty easy. You got to remember that before that time, having fancy computers to do all this, it just didn't happen. So it was really a tax simplification, I guess, in one of its purest forms, but also a great big tax reduction. My question today is, at the time John F. Kennedy was inaugurated, how many personal tax brackets were in existence at the IRS? Just a whole number greater than two, because we've never had a flat tax. Okay, Florida Disaster Fund. Let's talk about that for a minute. There is a fund set up. It's being run by the First Lady, Casey DeSantis, that is a private fund that you can donate to help the victims of this mess. And it is at volunteerflorida.org/donateFDF. Now, an easier way to get there is just floridadisasterfund.org, and it'll shoot you right over there. And you can click on it. It has an address if you want to mail something. Don't forget that if you're in that preferred age bracket, like mine, over 70 and a half, you can use your qualified distribution from your required distribution for this year by simply giving the address to your custodians. They send X amount of money to that, and it is a tax-qualified thing and set up for the QCDs. So anybody who wants to look at it or do it or whatever, just go to floridadisasterfund.org, and everything is linked from there.
Since we're on the topic of charity, I have to bring up that we are also supporting the charity that my wife is on the board of. It is joestrong.org. It is a charity set up to raise money for childhood cancer, specifically for the type of leukemia that that our friend Joe actually got and took his life a couple of years ago. We're having a run out in Nocatee on November 5th, and it's a 5K race. It is only $25 to do the run up until the 5th of October, and then the price goes up to $35. So get in and do that quickly, joestrong.org.
Okay, good. We have all kinds of ways that you can spend your money. But it's not
good
just
causes.
Yeah, it's good not causes. Just spending. It's actually getting something done. That matters. All right. Last week, I know a lot of people were listening to the real estate show and to ours. And a friend of our show and friend of their show, Marshall Gallup, called in. And he was talking about a service that's available in our three-county area, Duval, St. John's, and Clay. Most of you have heard these relentless ads about, oh, stealing your home only requires one piece of paper and it can be gone overnight. Everything we've worked for, and they're whining and crying and all that. So for a mere whatever dollars a month, they'll monitor it for you. And when anything happens, they'll tell you. They won't do anything about it, but they'll tell you. And Marshall said, well, in Florida, in those three counties at least, there is now available a service that is free to you from the county and does precisely the same thing. So I contacted Marshall this week to get an address to do it because it wasn't real obvious on the county clerk's website. So he sent me a direct link to it. Now, if you're in St. John's, it's stjohnsclerk.com/recording-activity. It's similar in Duval, and it's a little harder to find in Clay County. But I think we can post these on our website, and you can just go to vanleyfinancial.com and you can get it.
That won't happen till Monday, though.
You're right. This weekend, Adam's kind of out of commission. The soccer dad is headed out right after the show. Anyway, the three counties, I told Adam it was really uncanny because I went to the St. John's one first because that's where I live. And I saw that page come up. I said, this is really cool. It looks exactly like the page when they're advertising for that paid service. And I think it's somebody just having a little bit of fun with everything. But they explained it there and that the service was free. And, of course, I went and there's a link to sign up for it. I signed up under my own name. I signed up under my wife's name, and I signed up under my business name.
And how much did that cost you?
That cost me about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Nice. That was it.
So you could pay someone else $9.99 a month forever.
Or you could take 5 minutes.
And do it for free.
Now, here's how it works. Not only will they keep an eye on it if you're on the list, they'll email you the second something comes in. Free. Now, when you say it's the county or the state or the federal government or whatever, nothing's ever free. It's prepaid. But if you're paying your taxes in either one of those three counties, then why not take advantage of it? It's a service that they offer at no additional charge. And I think it is just fabulous. So if you start sometime Monday, we'll post it up. And if you have any questions, just email us at info@vanwayfinancial.com. And I can send these links to you directly, too. Not a problem. So, a little good news. I get tired of all the morbid stuff. So, let's do it again. Let's have some more good news. Medicare Part B premium and IRMA surcharges are going to decline in 2023.
Wait, what?
I am not making this up.
No.
Yep. Now, the reasoning, you got to dig under the headlines a little bit to get. Last year, January increase, you probably remember they issued a number for the Medicare B premium, and then they took it back and raised it. And they raised it because of the drug portion. There was a drug, it's called Adjuhelm.
I remember this, yeah.
Something like that.
Is it it's the Alzheimer's
drug? Yeah, it was apparently showing some progress in Alzheimer's treatment. And I think that is absolutely wonderful news. Everybody's been affected by it, some worse than others. But the initial price tag for those who needed to use it was $56,000 a year. Okay, you got a drug plan, you got a problem, so fine, do it. But they decided that a lot of people wouldn't be able to afford it. So they decided to up the charges to all of us who are on Medicare by 15% in a year with a 5.9%, I think, Social Security increase. Yeah, fun. So the government giveth and the government taketh away as usual. Well, now the drug manufacturer, Biogen, said it's going to cut the drug's cost by half to only $28,000 a year. So our charges are going to go down a bit. Not a bunch, but the word down matters. I think I've linked them in here, $97,000 or more to $194,000. We'll pay the additional surcharges at $65.90 a month or $395 per month on top of the standard Part B and the IRMA surcharge. And for those of you who have not listened long enough to understand an IRMA surcharge, IRMA stands for the monthly, income-related monthly adjustment amounts. In other words, it's money on top of what you pay for normal Medicare B and or the drug plan. And the worst part of it is Part D, which is something you don't have to sign up for. You still get the IRMA surcharge if your income is up there for Part D. But at least it's coming down a little bit. So on balance here, I'm rating this little article as good news.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No.
Certainly not. And I mean, that is how insurance works. You spread the cost out among all the members, and that way one person doesn't take the brunt of it. But a 15% hike is pretty severe.
Yeah, and I hear that just wasn't being covered by anything else, including nobody's ever going to get a raise that high last year, that's for sure. All right, another one. I'm on a roll. A lot of you are familiar with Governor Kristi Noem out of South Dakota. She has decided that people need some help, especially buying food, and she is eliminating the 4.5% tax on groceries, which is a huge hit to the state, like $100 million. But she well, first off, she's kind of interested in running for president, so there's part of that. But also, she's just a real good person and a really good governor.
Is that a special sales tax that they had in the state just on food?
I was going to say, bottom line on this, is as I was reading it and feeling kind of good for the people in South Carolina, my first thought was, they got a 4.5% tax on food?
South Dakota,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Hey, 4.5% on food?
Yeah, that's crazy.
You got to be nuts. All right, I see we have a call on the line, but we're about 30 seconds from having to take another break. So please just hold on. And we will get to you immediately after the break. And reminds me, lines are open 904-222-8255. So we'll pay a few bills. We'll come back. And I think I might even have one more piece of good news in here before we get to other forms of reality. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I do want to repeat the trivia question since it's sitting out there. Back in about 1988, Ronald Reagan had reduced the number of tax brackets for individuals down to 2, 15% and 28%. How many were in existence when JFK was originally inaugurated? It was a number higher than that. All right, and we do want to get to a caller. We don't need anything in between, right? Okay. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
How's everything?
I'll take a shot at that first thing. 12.
Well, 12's a lot.
I know.
But it's not enough. It's too low.
Oh, really?
Yep. Wow. It's crazy, wasn't it?
Yes. Okay. Recently, if I understood correctly, you mentioned a key figure that if it fell below the June low, we really need to get worried or... And I didn't catch what that was. Yeah, the S&P or the Dow, or what?
That's right. I was talking about that last weekend. Mainly, I look at the S&P, but all three indexes did fall below their June lows this week. Not a great sign moving forward in the short run. So
they did all fall below it.
Yes, they did. So it looked like we might get on Wednesday when the market rallied. We went back up above the lows from June, so if they just get close and close a little bit below and then rally back, that would be a good sign. But then Thursday, Friday happened, and now we're significantly below.
Yeah, we're back to March of 2020 right now.
So, it's just not a great sign for the future right now. I'm not making a recommendation based off of that, but there isn't a lot of positives out there. But you never know what will spark a turnaround in this market.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's been a real, really bad year, one of the worst that I've ever been through. It's compounded by the fact that bonds and stocks are moving in the same direction at the same time. If you have any kind of diversified portfolio and you're not off double digits, you've done something really, really well this year. There's just nowhere to hide right now except for cash, and then you're losing 8% to inflation. So,
but remember, the market will anticipate before people do.
Yes.
The reversal. And you just got to stay as diligent as you can be because it'll happen when you least expect it.
You got any idea what needs to happen for it to turn around?
No clue.
I'll give you my favorite one, a good election.
I'm waiting for that.
You and a bunch of us.
What needs to happen is the we need to tame inflation. The Fed's got to stop taking this overly hawkish tone. And they need to, that would definitely give a little bit of boost to equities moving forward. And it will happen eventually. They have to admit that we're in a recession and maybe they've gone a little bit too far. But right now,
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Not yet, anyway. I don't know when.
They're all coming together now saying rates have to go to 4.5% to 4.75%. And that's what got them in trouble the first time, making announcements of how long something would happen, where it's going to go, and like that. You know what you do with a Fed chairman who's awful? You put her in charge of the Treasury.
Although I've heard she's leaving.
Yeah, I've heard that too. In Washington, D.C., and I've said this more than once, is a place where you are known for the job you had, not the job you did. And that's really scary.
Yeah, you don't have to be successful. You can fail up.
Yeah, the worst Fed chairman in the world can become the worst Treasury secretary in the world. And it's just the way D.C. works. Mm-hmm. And if you're really smart, then if you're one of the shadow presidents, you can find a job for your wife being the ambassador to plants and animals, Mrs. Klain. It's ridiculous. You know, we go to war with the army we've got, meaning we have to play in this market. We know how awful it is, and we have to do it because we have no alternative. So we're just holding our breath and crossing our fingers that Mr. Market wakes up one morning and says, all right, that's been enough. And who knows when that'll happen?
I don't know.
Thanks for the good news.
Yeah, I'm trying today to stay positive, but I'm not always winning that battle.
It's a tough one right now.
It is. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Take care.
I do have a bit of good news that's related to that, though.
Good.
Investors are still extremely bearish on the market, mm-hmm. and I wonder why that is. But bearish sentiment is at 61%. That level of bearishness has only come four other times in history. One of them happened to be in March of 2009. And if you don't remember what happened in March of 2009, the bottom of the fall that was 2008 happened in March of 2009. The market turned around and rallied before even the summer. I think it was up 30-something percent. Yeah. So it could happen very fast. I'm not saying that it will happen, but it's almost unprecedented. We've seen 2 weeks in a row of bear sentiment over 60%, mm-hmm. and that there hasn't been another time since the inception of this gauge in 1987. This has never happened. It's that bad.
I've recently seen the beginning of the usual talking heads around Wall Street saying, "Well, you can't expect returns on equities of more than 4.5% or 5%." I could Google that and tell you every single year they've said this.
They're just making stuff up at this point.
We are more likely, when this thing turns around, whether it's Monday or next year or whatever, we're more likely to get back 25% or 30% than we are to get back 4%.
Yeah, and the other thing about that is if that was true and you knew that was true for somehow had a crystal ball, just put all your money in treasuries. I mean, exactly. You can make 4% there, and it's safe. Why not?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, you'll see this every time. It's one of those things like the Christmas season where Adam and I have joked about this for 20 years. They're going to all tell you how horrible it's going to be, and then when it's over, they add it up, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, every single time.
This year, I don't know what the sentiment will be, but if you want a job this year, you got one.
Yeah, did you see initial jobless claims back down to 200,000?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable. That's why it's so darn confusing.
Yeah.
If you're any kind of analytical person who has studied this stuff for the years and years that we have, this is the strangest one ever.
It is.
I don't get it.
We got an email at the office on Monday from a listener in Savannah, and it was so entertaining that I wanted to read it on air.
Please do.
I just got a good chuckle out of it. It said, "Enjoy your radio show here from Savannah. Wanted to make a suggestion for you to pass on to your Florida audience regarding RMDs. You guys have a couple of really good senators, but we here in Georgia have two morons.
It's a good start.
Your audience should contact their senators and congresspeople and ask them to pass something to eliminate the requirements to take RMDs this year, since the idiots running the government under Biden are responsible for the loss of about $9 trillion of private wealth. It's criminal for them to require people to take an RMD on top of their other losses. Make it an opt-in process. Otherwise, you don't have to take it. What do you think? Keep up the good work and stay dry and safe from Hurricane Ian."
That's nothing that hasn't crossed my mind several times as this market's been dropping down over the year. You know, they did it in, 2000? I guess we just took a year off of RMDs.
Did they? I don't remember that.
Yeah. There was 1 year. And when they did that, they added another year. Like if you had a five-year deadline to empty an account, you got a free year out of that.
I mean,
then they also lowered the amount you had to take out by changing the index, or what do you call it, the chart of the numbers you have to divide by. I can't remember what they call it, but they've reduced the amount of your RMD and took a year off. And I think right now having a year off like that would be absolutely spectacular. And I agree. Contact your senators are the ones that can get it done.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Good morning, Red. Greg. Okay, it came out R-E-G. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. We've only got a minute, so we can use up most of that, but then I might ask you to hold through depending on what's on your mind. So what's on your mind?
Yeah, so quickly, I didn't catch the beginning of the show, but I was wondering if you guys had addressed the hurricane in Florida, which I'm sure you did.
Yes.
And how that might impact the economy. Well, we know how it'll impact Florida's economy, but how it might impact the U.S. economy and how that might influence the Fed.
Oh, I would love to talk about that after the break. Can you hold through?
Yeah.
All right, great. I'll put you on hold and we'll catch you after and pay some bills. All right, got to run for a minute. We'll be right back with an interesting topic with Greg, so don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And before we resume the conversation, I want to quickly remind people of the trivia question. Ronald Reagan took us down to 2 personal income tax brackets from more than that. And on the day of Kennedy's inauguration, how many individual tax brackets were there? We know that 12 is too low. All right, Greg, thanks for holding.
You bet.
Number one thing I had to say about your comment, which we should probably set up again, what will this hurricane do in terms of the economy and the Federal Reserve and so on? My first comment is that the Federal Reserve is impervious, uncaring, and will do nothing.
Obtuse, yeah. They won't do it. It won't affect them at all,
yeah. They just don't care.
No. And it's one little section of the United States versus a huge country.
And, it isn't where they live.
No, exactly.
Jacksonville would be the closest thing. We have a Federal Reserve Bank here. So I think we can just safely discount that one. And then my general comment, before I ask you yours, is that there will be 2 parts to this. The first part is the cleanup and so on, which is not exactly productive, doesn't really add to the GDP, and overall is just kind of a bummer. But when they get it cleaned up and things start to happen, Katie bar the door.
It has historically been a really, really good thing for the economy, so it's good news, bad news. This year, though, it's going to probably put a strain on resources in Florida again. And when I say resources, I'm talking about building materials, labor, construction. I mean,
energy.
All of that.
Huge problem with energy.
But in a normal year, when we're not in the situation that we're in right now, it's actually turned out to be a very good thing, the recovery efforts from hurricanes.
Well, what is your feeling after the disasters that you've known about and watched?
So my personal experience is that I had the opportunity to visit Panama City a year out after the hurricane, and I was impacted by it. Mind you, I don't know what it looked like at the time, but using my imagination and looking at the news and everything, roads were passable, but it looked like a bomb had gone off. Mm-hmm. I had never seen and I've been through tornadoes in the Midwest growing up as a kid, but I had never seen such destruction, and it was still in a state of disrepair a year after. And I recall going down to the city center, and FEMA was still there year out. There was an armed guard at the door, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
It was actually a marshal. And I saw these people with their heads hung low, and you could just tell the despair, those going in, those leaving. And I actually, when I was there, was business related, and I saw all that. I turned around and left. I didn't even attempt to do move further on what I was thinking I was going to try to do. So I just dispelled with that thought, turned around and left. And as I drove home, up Highway 10 back to Jacksonville, I saw all the damage to the lumber and the trees and which goes to the harvest for, building materials but my thinking driving closer to your question is, the insurance, the government is going to have to release tons and tons and tons of money, and insurance companies, which, might be worth shorting, are going to have to release billions and billions of dollars.
Yep.
I saw that somebody, and I don't know how close this is to being accurate, they thought that the damages were around $1 trillion. I don't know if that's true, but that money eventually ends up into the economy one way or the other.
Yep. Yes.
And as far as the Fed is concerned, I understand the impervious part. I mean, they were the ones that were late to come to the party to begin with, so I don't think that there's much trust in the Fed to be competent and responsible. At least that's my opinion.
Well, but you're not going to get a disagreement from us on that.
No.
I'm just wondering out loud, does the devastation in that part of Florida have any impact on the GDP negatively or otherwise? Because with those many people, depleted of their assets, because the majority of it is in their home.
Right.
I don't know. I this is the kind of question I'd ask over a nice glass of scotch or something, and we would dig into it and try to figure a solution. But
if your
answer is that it's not going to have any effect, then...
Oh, it'll have a big effect on the economy, not on the Fed.
Well, in terms of the total GDP of the United States, I think it'll have an effect, but it won't be a big effect. Yeah. Now, in Florida, obviously, that will have a very big effect.
One of the problems is something I was talking about last week, and that the inflation we're experiencing right now is a demand-side inflation, and the supply side is limited, and that's by policy of the federal government right now. The supplies of a lot of things are limited. When you start adding up the need for such things as copper wire and 2x4s and concrete and everything it's going to take to rebuild all of those things, I see this as highly likely, at least, to become inflationary.
That's what I was thinking, too.
And if the Fed reacts to anything, it's going to be that.
But it's not in the direction that you're hoping for. It's the opposite.
Not absolutely right. Rather than being accommodative, I think they'll overreact the wrong way.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And history would prove us right.
Right. Shortages are going to be the key word, I believe. Both short term, we're going to have a lot of trouble filling up gas tanks and that kind of thing down in the highly affected areas. But then when the reconstruction begins, the demand for all the building materials go crazy. Maybe that's I always hate to recommend that people profit off other people's misery, but I think the materials sector, which has been pounded pretty hard,
yeah,
might be a place to look at for
investors. The commodities, you're talking about the commodities.
Materials
like
and commodities.
Lumber, copper.
Yep. There's a... iShares has one, IYM, that's materials-oriented. There are others from other providers. But I think they probably will have an interesting year coming up. It's so hard to know where to begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you guys done any extensive research going back, through various catastrophes and done any sort of study, and you can see where... 12 months out or 24 months, whatever the time period is, out after a major, like a Katrina or what happened in Panama City.
Yep. Yeah, I did that on the Katrina, my former employment.
I've read a couple of studies that have been done on those. I haven't done it myself.
Materials, oil pipelines, east-west railroads, all kinds of things. And now it's going to be north-south, too, because that's where our lumber's going to come from now. So, yeah, transportation, materials, that kind of thing. And they did fare very well in the recovery from Katrina, which then, of course, fell apart later. But, yeah, it was pretty apparent.
Is it possible you guys could either try to locate those reports you just mentioned pop them on your website or do a blog or something?
Sure. We'll talk about it next week, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very fine idea.
I would like to get that, and I'm sure your I think, what do you have, over 3 million listeners would like to hear it as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think 3 is an old number. I think it's probably doubled since then. You want to take a quick shot at the trivia question?
19
was actually a little too low. There were 24, with the top one being 91%, and the brackets were so close together that it was about every $3,000 they changed. Reagan said, this could be done a lot better, and we'd actually make more money. But Kennedy said the same thing earlier. He said, believe it or not, if we lower these top rates, they'll collect more money. And he was right.
Oh, boy.
How about that? Democrats are a different thing. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right, we got to wrap this up. I don't know where the time goes some days, but it was interesting. And, yeah, we got some food for thoughts in our own lives and businesses coming up. So be here next week, and we'll tell you what we know. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour, signing off.